3 days ago, pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly announced that they will slash the price for their popular insulin drug, Humalog. The announcement by the 143-year-old Indianapolis-based Fortune 500 company comes amid growing public outcry over prescription drug pricing. Eli Lilly announced Monday they'll cut the price of insulin in half, from nearly $300 to around $150 per 10 milliliters. But consumer watchdogs warned that the cutting of drug prices comes after runaway costs since the 1990s. According to the LA Times reporter David Lazarus, when Eli Lilly's insulin drug came out in 1996, it cost just $21 per vial. According to the Journal of American Medical Association, the cost of insulin tripled over the past decade. Runaway drug prices have caused public outrage, which has in turn put pressure on Congress. Earlier this year, the House Oversight Committee heard the testimony of a mother who lost her child because she couldn't afford his insulin medication. And just this week, first-term Indiana Republican Senator Mike Braun proposed a measure which would end rebates to pharmacy benefit managers. In today's feature report, WFHB News Director Wes Martin speaks with IU Health Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine, Dr. Paris Roach, about the cost of insulin and pharmacy benefit managers.
In terms of the insulin pricing and the increase in recent years, a large part of that is related to so-called discounts that insulin manufacturers give to the pharmacy benefit managers. They're sort of the go-between between the pharmaceutical manufacturers and the patient, or rather the patient's insurance programs. And so the insulin manufacturers offer discounts on their insulin products to the pharmacy benefit managers so that the pharmacy benefit managers can offer less expensive insulin to the employers or the insurers. But they don't pass along 100% of the discount that the pharmacy benefit manager may keep a percentage, typically keeps a percentage for themselves. So basically, the end result of that is that over time, that tends to drive up insulin prices as the manufacturers have to raise their prices to recoup the cost for some of those discounts. In this case, it's not really a generic. It's the very same company, Eli Lilly, is simply relabeling an identical drug. So Humalog and Insulin Lispro are, what's in the vial is identical vial to vial, but it's just the labeling that's different. In addition, insulin is much more complicated from a manufacturing standpoint as compared to, for example, a tablet medication, because a lot of expensive infrastructure and processes involved, and there aren't really a lot of manufacturers or business concerns in the world who can really take on that initial capital requirement and all of the, you know, technology and regulatory approvals and that kind of thing to be able to produce, you know, sort of in classic terms, a generic insulin. So I think in this case, it's a little bit of a misnomer.
My understanding, or at least kind of the rationale that I've seen for a lot of expense on how expensive drugs can be in the United States, is companies saying, well, it takes a lot to research and develop and figure out how to then distribute and get FDA approval for drugs. And so that's part of the reason why drugs are expensive in the United States. And I'm wondering, you had mentioned these middlemen. Between research and development and the middleman's take, how much would a drug like, for example, Humalog that we see from Eli Lilly, how much of that cost is actually going into the drug versus distribution and profit?
Well, that's really the $64 million question now, because that the public and now, you know, the federal government, Congress is very interested in, because there's little, if any, transparency into what happens in those negotiations and, you know, how prices and discounts in that context are determined. And I think in terms of insulin, the pharmacy benefit managers and other concerns come into question, because for many years after the insulins were on the market and, you know, Humalog went generic, the prices were fairly stable. You know, they rose slightly, as you might expect, over the years. But then over the last 10 years or so, there has been something like a 500% increase in the list price for insulin without any, you know, increase in the expense of manufacturing or other, you know, factors related to the drug per se. So it calls into question, you know, why the huge price increase over a relatively short period of time when nothing else in, you know, vis-a-vis the drug itself has changed. One of the first places to look would be, you know, what happens between the manufacturer of the drug at the pharmaceutical company and the ultimate purchase of the drug at the pharmacy level. One of the obvious factors that comes into play are these pharmacy benefit managers, and, you know, it's well known that discounts are negotiated between the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmacy benefit managers, and that, you know, profits are taken at the pharmacy benefit management level. It's just that there hasn't been any transparency into that process. You know, what kind of discounts are actually offered, and how much is kept back by the pharmacy benefit manager. But it's sort of an obvious, you know, line of inquiry, because that's the biggest factor between the manufacturer of the drug and then the receipt of the drug at the pharmacy by the patient.
Again, not to belabor this point, but I am wondering what exactly the pharmacy benefit managers do in order to be in this position as middlemen and affect prices.
My understanding is that they sort of serve the insurance industry in terms of, like, if I'm an insurer and I'm looking across, you know, three or four different insulin products, they will assist me in finding the product that's least expensive to my plan and to my clients, you know, the patients who subscribe to my insurance. And so the pharmacy benefit managers negotiate with the different manufacturers of not even insulin necessarily, but, you know, drug A, and then they come up with sort of the best deal, or, you know, the lowest cost for that particular drug to the insurer. And so they settle, they arrange all that, do all the negotiations, you know, behind the scenes, and set all that up so that the insurance companies don't have to, you know, deal directly with pharma, with drug manufacturers.
If you were to take me through this, a company like Eli Lilly will create a drug, assuming that there's demand for it. So in this case, we'll talk about insulin. And you had mentioned insulin is particularly tricky. I'm wondering if you can tell me why is insulin such an important or complex kind of drug to either manufacture or research and develop?
Well, it's a biologic, which means that it's a protein drug, it's a hormone, as opposed to being manufactured from chemistry and chemicals in a chemical process. It was actually the first recombinant DNA drug. So, you know, DNA regulates the expression of proteins, and insulin is a protein. So through the recombinant process, bacteria or yeast are, the insulin gene is placed into those organisms, and then those organisms produce insulin according to the instructions of that particular gene. So they'll produce human insulin like they did for many years for Humulin and still do, or they'll produce Humalog, or, you know, insulin lyse pro, or any whatever that gene that's inserted into the organism calls for. That's what that organism will produce in terms of the insulin protein. So it's very complicated. You have to, you know, have the capacity to grow bacteria successfully. You have to have the genetics to be able to transfect those bacteria with whatever insulin gene you're interested in producing. And there's just a lot of specialized equipment and processes that go into it. And there are only a few companies in the world who have been able to, either because historically they've been involved in it, or more recently, you know, they've decided to become a major insulin producing concern. There are only a few manufacturers who can really do that in, you know, an effective and efficient enough way to make it worth their while to be an insulin producer. So it's just, I think just the complex nature of the manufacturing process sort of keeps the number of players in the field very limited. And then in addition for insulin, it has to be produced in very high quantities because the number of people on the planet who use insulin now is quite high and still growing. So I think it probably shares that with other biologics that, you know, have complicated manufacturing process. It's still a high price, even at half the cost, and a lot of individuals are still going to have difficulty affording their insulin, especially if they are self-pay, obviously, or if they have high co-pays and large deductible policies. So I think it's a step in the right direction, and it shows that we do need to keep manufacturers accountable for their pricing, especially when the price increases so much over such a short period of time. And I think it's been demonstrated here that that kind of accountability and oversight will help combat the upward force on price pressures and on prices, and at least offer more affordable alternatives for patients who otherwise, you know, wouldn't be able to afford their insulin.
That was Dr. Paris Roach, IU Health Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine, speaking with WFHB News Director Wes Martin about insulin drug prices.